Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah! Grotes is in the building because he's been in the building at Halas Hall. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Grotes, what do we need to know?
I'm always in the building, Lawrence. That's the first thing you need to know, and I think that you guys know that. And gentlemen, the Bears had their first real practice of the week. Two key players did not participate. Kyler Gordon, still dealing with the hamstring, did not practice. And Grady Jarrett did not practice. He has been dealing with a knee injury. Better news on the injury front. TJ Edwards, Josh Blackwell, Roschon Johnson, Jahadae Walker, all were out there today. None going full force. They are down officially right now as we do this hit on a Thursday as limited. So we shall see more tomorrow when we get the decisive injury report out here at Halas Hall before that Sunday game at Detroit. Full go today. This is good news. We're DJ Moore and this guy right here, Jalen Johnson.
How much better do you feel right now compared to last, I think it was Tuesday, when we spoke to you for the first time?
A lot better. I feel pretty good just getting that extra week of reps, that extra week of conditioning, going through things. Really just getting up to speed in the playbook, being able to do walkthroughs, things like that, is really beneficial for me. So all those reps are important.
You said it wouldn't be a thing that you wouldn't be able to play when we were talking to you last week. If you had to play today, what would you say?
I'll be good.
Good to go.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Jalen Johnson said that the calf designation was because he was pushing to come back from the groin a little too hard. By the way, Jalen Johnson will be on this show the day after Bears games at 5 o'clock, starting this Monday with Spiegel and Holmes.
You always worry, though, about the kinetic chain. A guy gets one injury, and then it's like, oh, well, yeah, now this hurts. Oh, now this hurts. Are these all the same thing? No, but kind of. It's a weird place to be.
It is, Lawrence. He did say that he knows his body well enough to kind of, like, at this point, to keep that from occurring going forward. And one other little tidbit, too, from Jalen Johnson, he did reveal to us that he said he was never going to play last week. So all that we heard starting on last week, Tuesday, as I suggested to Jalen Johnson, that was all gamesmanship. Jalen, though, was pretty honest about it. I mean, when Jalen Johnson is sitting there indicating that he doesn't know if he's going to play, knowing how competitive he is, that was a little bit surprising. But things are looking very much green light for Jalen Johnson. But again, we'll wait one more day on that. Here's the other one, too, that we were all wondering about because we did not get a chance to speak with DJ Moore after the game the other day. He was kind of screened by some of the PR people because he was getting some treatment, didn't know exactly what the injury was. It was in the fourth quarter. Remember when Caleb Williams took the late hit? He got knocked down. DJ Moore got knocked down. He's on the report, full go, as I said, but it was abdomen and groin. He took that shot, and we did have to ask DJ Moore what the heck was going on there.
What did it feel like? I mean, I felt like I got hit by a car. But, I mean, in the moment, I mean, I couldn't really breathe, so I had to just stay. I kind of got up, but I couldn't really get up, and I went back down and couldn't breathe. Got hit in my side. I'm cool now, though.
So like a collapsed lung or like just...
I can't give you those details.
How did you go back into the next play?
How did I? I mean, I love the game. I mean, if I'm not like really bleeding or anything, I'm going to go back out there.
But then we see you with the head trainer, Andre Tucker, just kind of walking fast to the tent. Did he just come and insist upon you doing that?
No, they called from upstairs and said we had to do that. So that was that.
Ah, mandatory.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm glad that they do that.
Me too.
I don't think that they do it enough, honestly, in the game, because there's some of the hits you're just like, ooh, that was really violent. Someone should probably get checked out. But I'm glad that DJ got checked out and he checked out okay. And now, days away from the incident, he's okay. Because we've seen that happen too, where a guy gets hit and you go, ooh, that looked like might be some head trauma. Nope, he's fine. And then 2 days later, he's in a dark room because he's having symptoms. So I'm glad that all of this has worked out where DJ feels good enough to practice and get himself out on the field on Sunday.
Good stuff here from Mark Grody, who's got players from the locker room. Keep rolling, Groats. This is good.
Absolutely, guys. You know, the running game, obviously a big concern in that Monday night game. And, you know, Ben Johnson was very clear that they need to run the football more. And that thought was taken to DeAndre Swift. He was asked if it pleased him that Ben Johnson said they needed to run the ball more.
For sure. I just feel like we need to play cleaner ball offensively to get more calls in general. You know what I mean? We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with pre-snap stuff. We can't expect to win like that.
What's your assessment of maybe what wasn't working with the run game early?
I hats off to them. They did a good job up front doing different things. Flores did a good job up front. That's what I would say. Especially first half, it was kind of muddy up front. Tried to take what they was giving us, which really wasn't much. You know what I mean? Them type of games, you got to play clean. You know what I mean?
Man, I do respect to DeAndre, but I've had enough people, including Olin Kreutz last hour, tell me that DeAndre is not making that first cut to get the most out of a run right from the get-go.
I just enjoy that inside the doc, it says DeAndre Swift on Ben saying they'll run more.
That'd be DJ more?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, we got an exclusive here, huh? Oh, all right. All right, but that is not the case. Although they did run DJ Moore quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder about the running back position overall with the Bears, Groats.
Because that's the thing. Like Olin says, if you're running DJ Moore, that means you don't like your second running back. That's what he thought.
Yeah, and look, I mean, DJ, that was, we knew that was coming. He ended up only having 3 runs for 8 yards, as I'm looking at here, with a long of 5, but he did participate in it. Part of the reason for that, and really quick, just before we get to more on the running game, it was interesting with Swift that he did talk about that he name checked Flores and said that the defensive line was playing well. It just makes me, you know, then you have to adjust as an offense. And clearly he was saying they were stuck against that defense. And I also appreciated, like, I couldn't play all of what Swift said, but 3 or 4 times throughout our talk with Swift today, he talked about those pre-snap penalties. It's about as frustrated as I've heard DeAndre Swift and almost as commanding as I've heard him, just because he's very soft-spoken, about as professional as it gets in that locker room, doesn't always like speaking, but he was front and center today. So that was about, and I know people can't really tell, but I can, just from having been around him so much, that's about as frustrated as I've heard him, or as outspoken, I suppose, as I've heard him in a long time. So he clearly wants that stuff cleaned up. The surprising part to a lot of us was, and I think that you guys have talked about it, is that Kyle Mundungay got into the game but did not take one single handoff. I had a good talk with Kyle Mundungay about that.
Were you surprised that you didn't get any carries in the game?
I think I went into the game not expecting any role in particular. And when I say any role, I mean, like, I didn't have an expectation of I'm going to get this beforehand or anything. You know, coming off an injury, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, I was just coming into the game like I'm going to help the team win however, you know, way I can. And however many times I'm on the field, I'm going to try and do the best of what I can. So, obviously, as a running back, we love to get the ball. But, like I said, I didn't come in with any expectation of a amount of carries or anything, and I was just trying to help the team win anyway.
How do you feel right now in terms of the way your blocking abilities are developing or have developed?
Mm-hmm. I think, like anything in every part of my game, I got some work to do. You know, I'm always trying to improve and be better. I think blocking specifically, I think there's obviously places I can improve on. Because it's something I do take pride in, so it's not putting bad film out there. It's like something I take personally. So, this is the best of the best, and I got to be able to block the best.
You've been going back to your college days. Is that a trust that you have to earn with the coach and maybe even the quarterback when it comes to blocking?
Yeah. I think both. You hit it on the nail. Like, the quarterback and the coaching staff, they got to trust you to be able to put you in positions to do that. And then the quarterback has to trust that you're going to block that guy that's screaming free, trying to take his head off. So the quarterback trusts you. He can be more comfortable on his drive, get the ball out, deliver it where it needs to go. And like I said, the staff trusts you to do it. Then you'll be in more situations to you know, seize that opportunity.
You know, it's interesting because he didn't run at all. And Ben said, I got to call more runs. And the lack of development in the running game is one of the most frustrating things to come out of there. But Lawrence, you guessed at it and he kind of hints at it there. Can he be trusted enough to be in the game enough to be advantageously used? It's hard to guess.
And it's a hard thing for a young player to develop when the games are real. Like they can't take the risk of having Caleb be back there, and if something were to happen to Caleb because of a bad Kyle Manungai block, like they have to think about that as what it is that they're doing.
And if Caleb's a little bit jumpy or leaves a little early sometimes, which we know can be an issue, you don't want the running back fears to be part of that.
Nope, because he's already got enough.
Yep, and the good news, guys, is, as I said, you know, Roschon Johnson back practicing, so it doesn't mean that, you know, he was only limited today. And I think trust is such an important word, not just for the topic of Kyle Manungai blocking, but trusting in these new players, trusting in Luther Burden, trusting in Colston Loveland. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of feeling out right now for Ben Johnson in terms of getting to know the players. He even talked about Caleb Williams after the game. He says he's still getting to know the player and what he is capable of and what he has to add to the plate or take away from the plate. So that's part of it. I think trust is a really important word for a lot of these guys, and Kyle Manungai included.
A lot went wrong on special teams, Groats.
I mean, Lawrence's frustration with, what'd you call him, Chuckle Hut?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to hear from Chuckle Hut.
Always got something to say when things are good, and then when things go bad, I'm going to hide behind the coach. How's everybody doing? Not real good, Richard, because your unit last week kind of cost the team the game. And then there was stuff that you probably should have known that you didn't know because you're the holdover on the staff. But I'll allow him to tell the story, Groats.
Well, there was no Chuckle Hutton today, Lawrence, as Richard Hightower, he starts with Cairo Santos's missed kick and some of the other errors.
Yeah, I mean, we never want to leave points on the board. My diagnosis is always starts with the operation, that snap, hold, and kick. That wasn't clean. Protection was good. That wasn't clean, and we didn't get it done. We need to get that done.
Which part wasn't clean?
It's just the whole operation. Yeah, whole operation wasn't clean enough for us.
When deciding whether to put it to the back of the end zone or kick it out of bounds, what are the factors that you weigh?
Yeah, I think Coach already addressed that. I mean, I'm just going to reiterate what he said because it's the truth. We wanted the ball to go out the back of the end zone, and that didn't happen.
He also said that, in retrospect, he should have had the ball kicked out of bounds.
Correct, yeah.
What's the discussion like when you guys are...
Yeah, when we think we have a discussion, it's communication between coaches and players. And we communicate. We thought that we could kick it out the back. The player thought he could kick it out the back.
Right.
If that doesn't happen, then we go to the next option.
Yeah, you know, Cairo Santos is a twice extended captain on this team. But Mark, it's his coach's job to know when
where's your precious tape
when he's overconfident. When he's overconfident, like a real good starting pitcher that a manager has to go and take out. You know, you got to know what a guy can actually do.
That kick wasn't at the back end of the end zone either.
No, it was not.
It wasn't a guy tiptoeing on the back line to catch it and then make the decision.
Yeah, and I guess the only, you know, I don't know, credit or excuse I would give Richard Hightower is you do want to have faith in your players, especially in the first game of the year. But they did learn a lesson in this case. And I did think it was interesting, too. I didn't have time to put all of it on the tape here. But, you know, Richard Hightower was asked, too, about some of the big return yardage that went down in that game as well, Lawrence. And he said everybody was bad. And he said it was a tale of two halves, that every offense was bad, defense was bad, and special teams was no exception. So a rough day for a rough game and day for Richard Hightower and special teams for the Bears.
All right. I look forward to his stand-up routine. If things go well this week against Detroit.
Two drink minimums on Thursday.
You know I'll bring it to you.
I know you will. I know. He loves it. What else do we need to know from people that spoke at Hallis Hall today?
Oh, this one's for you, Matt Spiegel. Declan Doyle, the Bears offensive coordinator, was speaking today. And I know you guys talked, I caught a little bit of you guys earlier, and you were talking about the miscommunication between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore on that deep shot to the left side. And Spiegs, I think you were asking about the autonomy that a receiver might have to improvise in an offense run by Ben Johnson, to a lesser degree, Declan Doyle. I thought Declan Doyle did a pretty good job of answering this question just for you, Matt.
Was that a designed run, or did he just adjust off the coverage?
That wasn't designed.
Was not designed.
It was not designed. We were, you know, he's running an out cut. He felt himself in space, and sometimes guys, you know, are football players, and they feel that, and they're putting their hand up. And so obviously, you know, people look at it, and they say, hey, they're not on the same page, and we weren't in that case. But that's something that we've looked at, and that's getting corrected, and you know, obviously we'll be better for that moving forward.
What is the correction there for you guys?
Really, you would love to run the, like, if the quarterback is in his rhythm, he's expecting you to be in a certain place, and so we're saying, hey, that's where we got to go. If you end up, hey, I'm wide open early in the route, you can, you know, fire that hand up and tell him, you know, early in his drop that, hey, I'm running into space here. But that's one of those things. We just got to get those two guys on the same page. And really, the correction is across the board for the whole offense. It's good for everybody to kind of see that and how we want to handle that in the future.
So he's allowed to do it. So they're cool with DJ if he sees space throwing the arm up in the air. So, Lawrence, it's back to your lack of patience for Caleb in this regard. You've been patient overall, but in this regard, wide receiver throws his hand up.
Throw the ball to the guy.
Like directly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throw it to him.
throw it to the guy.
To the guy.
And Caleb admitted, didn't he, last night, that it's on him to make that adjustment and make the better throw.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he did. And he took a lot of responsibility for stuff that was going on. I got two more cuts for you guys. Dennis Allen, the Bears defensive coordinator, who was tired and exhausted of talking about last week, but this is the only day that we get a crack to talk to him.
Same week, Thursday. Dennis.
I know, and it's a turn the page Thursday on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I understand all that. Sorry about this, Dennis, but we got to ask you these questions. Here's what he did say about not finishing strong and how that could affect the game going forward against Detroit.
What do you pinpoint in terms of helping that to not happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I think sometimes we try to make this game a lot more complicated than it really is. You know, when momentum starts to swing in the opposite direction, rather than trying to do more, narrow your focus and just focus on the basic fundamentals of playing football. Get your eyes in the right spot, do your job and do the things that you're supposed to do, and don't try to do too much.
Interesting, because momentum surely swung, and you want your guys to make a play, but he says the way to do that is to do your job.
That's right.
It's fair.
Tibbs style. Yep.
Now, if you want to talk earlier in the week, you're welcome to, Dennis.
Yeah. Did you guys get? No, was he available after the game Monday night?
Nope.
No. Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah. So
right. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. Like, because here's the thing, real quick. We don't like doing that either. We don't like it when it's Thursday, we're 3 days away from a game, talking about last week's games. We hate it as well, but we have to do that. That's just the way it rolls.
Right. That's how the schedule works.
That's how the schedule works. So that the only time we get a chance to ask about what had happened in the previous game, that is when we can do that.
How about the? Can we talk? Undertaker Clotheslines by Daniel Hardy now?
Oh, wow. It was funny because obviously there's
the
so
clothes
much.
The clothesline from hell!
Hell yeah. It's so much to get to in the locker room, but I saw Daniel Hardy sitting by his locker and I'm like, oh, I got to talk to Daniel Hardy about that hit because everybody went, oh, in the press box when he made that hit on the rookie kick returner. So I had a nice little chat with Mr. Hardy.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, AD likes to talk about, DA, apologies.
ADDA, CDBB.
Coach DA talks about, you know, special teams being the first snap of defense. So just being able to go out there and set the tone for that drive and you know, especially after a, you know, score on offense and being able to continue the momentum is, you know, it's a huge thing. And, you know, it's just my way of being able to contribute to the team. The family group chat was going crazy. You know, lots of friends hit me up. Everybody sending clips in the group chat. So it's, you know, it's nice, but, you know, I would have felt even better if we got the win. I mean, I take pride in any job they give me, you know what I mean? It wouldn't matter if it was starting defensive end or starting water boy. You know, I'd take pride in everything I do, so I try and take ownership of that role and be the best possible special teams player I can be.
And why is everything initialized in this day and age? I'm Mark Grody, MG. You're Daniel Hardy, DH. Why do we do that?
I couldn't tell you. Less syllables, you know, more.
Lack of creativity.
You know, just efficiency. That's it. Streamline.
That is a football smile at 4:22 on a Thursday I'm feeling. It's nice. The family group chat lighting up for Daniel Hardy and the burgeoning friendship between Mark Grody and Daniel Hardy.
I think you found your new Tevin.
Maybe. That's very possible. I thought we all needed a smile.
Yeah, we did.
Here. Been very serious.
Oh,
you know?
Lovely. Lovely.
Nuggets and tidbits.
I was having a little chit-chat with Roma Dunze because he had mentioned he's excited about going up against Terrion Arnold of Detroit, a cornerback, because he was in the same draft class. So I was asking him about the other guys in his draft class, and he says, oh, yeah, man, you know, we all talk. And he said, but he says he's always tracking the wide receivers that were drafted ahead of him. And I was just looking through the statistics, and both Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison both had last week 5 catches for 71 yards exactly. Roma Dunze, 6 for 37, so he's got a little bit of catching up to do. We've been talking so much about the Bears' lack of a running game. It's weird to see that the Lions had just 46 yards on 22 carries against Green Bay. I know they got behind, so there are reasons for that. And boy, could the Bears use some steadiness, some getting right on the road. The Bears' overall road record, guys, since the year 2022, that was the year of Justin Fields, is 4-21, which is tied with Carolina for the fewest road wins in that span. And that is all I have for today. We're going to record TTN right now as we're doing the initials here. You got that, LH and MS?
Yes, we do.
You guys all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We feel you, MG.
You know what? KMA.
Yeah. It's the only acronym that matters.
Uh-huh. That is correct. KMA.
And hits.
Hey, what's KMA? It's exactly what you think. Yep.
Groats, have fun tomorrow.
I will. I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll be
we
in
know.
Studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Raheem. Oh yeah, you guys Harris, won't be there. That's Brody. Why you're saying have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a Cubs game in between us. We won't get to see your handsome face.
Right. Yeah. Aw, thanks, Lawrence. You guys are the best. Talk to you later.
Give see you, Marcus.
Bye. Yeah, I don't think he goes by that.
Marcus? Yeah. Just did, didn't he?
Okay. He shows up here.
he shows up here.
And has some speaks with you about that.
All I'm getting is a hug. Groats, he's just full of love, man. And he gave us football smiles.
He did. That was very nice with Daniel Hardy. And that was a beautiful play. That was a,
it was one of those. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We need to take a break because Alex is back as the host of Categories.
Good luck.
We'll see how disgraced he is next here on the...
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on The Score.
We play a game called Categories, and sometimes he loses on purpose, Steve, so we can just relax and he turns on an old Sopranos episode, sits around and watches that. That's a true story. And
so, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes. We're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is Categories. We play it every... I said that like the Zatarain's commercial. Zatarain! We play it every Thursday, and Alex Kuhn is back.
Welcome, Alex. He was once disgraced because of a gambling scandal. And again, after he was reinstated, disgraced again. Because
I thought it was category shaving.
The crazy part is that Adam Silver doesn't care about this either.
Not at all. Adam Silver trying to sweep this under the rug. Performance-enhancing drugs. We're pretty sure Alex is clean now, so we're giving him a third chance. Good luck, sir.
Thank you, guys, and thank you to the committee for once again welcoming me back. So if you don't know, we got two sports-related categories. We've got one pop culture-related category.
Yeah, baby.
So let's start with one of the sports categories I have in my hand, and I've had a lot of smoke for Ryan Poles and his drafting. I've got the 34 draft selections that Ryan Poles has made in his tenure as general manager. 34 of them, dating back to 2022. Matt Spiegel, we will start with you.
Velus Jones Jr.
Velus Jones Jr., his third ever pick in 2022, third round selection. Lawrence.
Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright, number one in 23. Tanny.
It's that guy, Williams, Caleb.
That is a good one. 2024, first round pick.
Kyler Gordon.
Kyler Gordon is his first ever selection, 2022.
Jaquan Brisker.
Second ever selection. Tanny.
Ozzie Trapillo.
Yes, that is correct. Second round last year.
Kyle Manungai.
Kyle Manungai, last pick of last year.
Torrey Taylor.
Torrey Taylor, fourth round pick.
The other punter.
In 2024, Tanny.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Roma Dunze.
Yeah, it is correct.
Roma Dunze. How about Shamar Turner?
Shamar Turner, correct. Last year.
Luther Burden.
Correct.
I was about to
jump. As well have just taken it because I think I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
He's out.
Stop looking at me. I'm out.
Don't turn the Sopranos on.
He's going to.
Ugh.
Alex,
Swanee puts a bottle of something in front of me here. Very classy. Very classy wrapping. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's in here.
I'll go Colston Loveland.
Correct. First round pick last year.
Doug Kramer?
The mini fridge. Yes. Sixth round selection in 2022.
Oh, wow. How about Jervon Dexter?
That is correct, Spieg. Second round pick in 23.
I'm out.
Spiegs, for the win.
He won. It's fine. Tristan Ebner.
Tristan Ebner is correct. Sixth round selection in 2022.
Could use themselves with Tristan Ebner right
Ruben
now.
Ruben Hippolyte, Zay Frazier, Luke Newman,
Noah Sewell,
Booker.
Zach
Pickens, Tyreek Stevenson, Roshan, Tyler Scott.
We don't need
to go through all of them.
No, we don't.
All right. Anthony Rizzo, retiring. I have in my hand the 25 players on the Cubs 2016 World Series roster. The World Series roster. Okay. 11 pitchers, 14 position players. Lawrence, we will start with you.
Chris Bryant.
That is correct. Tanny.
Ben Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist is correct.
Addison Russell.
Correct.
Javi Baez.
Correct.
Albert Almora, our guy, Tico.
You got it.
Kyle Schwarber.
Correct. Wow, you got all the position players here.
Man. Kyle Pitcher. Why am I blanking on Kyle's name? Kyle Hendricks.
Because the stress of categories is real. That's
why. First pitcher off the board. Tanny.
John Lester.
Second pitcher off the board.
David Ross.
Correct.
John Lackey.
Correct.
That's enough of that. Lackey. Aroldis Chapman.
You got it.
How about Carl Edwards Jr.?
Wow, nice pull there.
That's a good pull. I'm blanking on a lot of names today. You go as we go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
We go as you go.
His name is...
It's a guy. It's with a name.
A mass murderer.
Dexter Fowler Jr.
Nice.
You got it.
Guy who got the final out, Mike Montgomery.
Ooh,
nailed it.
What a pull.
Yeah. How about Miguel Montero?
Miguel Montero. Second catcher off the board.
He's the eighth inning guy. He's a guy.
He's a guy.
Used to be with Royals. I'm out.
Oh, yeah, I know you. I think I know what you mean.
Tanny?
Did Hector Rondon make the playoff roster?
Sure did.
Wow. Damn right.
Speaks.
How about Justin Grimm?
Justin Grimm also made the World Series roster. Tanny.
I gotta say, I think I'm out. Are you sure there's not another utility bench player on here? You say we got all the position players, but
saying that you guys got you started with like 10 straight position players. There are more position players.
There's a very important position player that we have not named. Very important.
I thought I've been around the diamond here. A starter, Lawrence? Starting?
There's a very important.
Hey, be quiet. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. The guy who's on the plane's got the answer to this one, so just go ahead and take it. I'm out.
No, go for it.
No, I'm out, yeah.
Jason Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Speech.
Travis Wood, anybody? Pedro Strop. Jake Arrieta.
I forgot about Travis
Jake
Wood.
Jake Arrieta sitting right there
Chris
for
Coughlin.
Yeah,
there's Wilson Contreras. And yeah, how about the guy retiring? Anthony Rizzo. I already mentioned him, so that he was not an option. Jorge Soler, the final player you guys did not get. All right, let's move on to the non-sports related topic. There are 28 sister cities of Chicago, according to Chicago Sister Cities International. In fact, they displayed their flags at O'Hare, I believe at the Terminal 1 and Terminal 3.
Really?
And there are two in North America. The rest are not in North America, and they are not in America. All 28 of these are not American cities.
Well, two of them are.
Two of them are North American cities.
Oh, I see.
None of them are American cities.
Hmm.
And so, Tanny, we're going to start with you.
Wow. Sister cities of Chicago. All the flags are on display at O'Hare.
Can you repeat the criteria for these sister 28 cities?
28 of them.
No. Yeah, London?
London is not correct.
Oh, my God.
Pine Barrens it is.
I'll go Toronto.
Toronto, you got it.
All right. Because it sort of looks like Chicago.
I'm going to go Seoul.
Seoul, South Korea.
That was a good guess, but that is also incorrect.
Tokyo.
Speaks for the win.
No, I mean,
I'm
going to ask, are these generally like not the main cities in these countries? It's like the second city in these countries. Is that what they're going for generally?
Madrid.
Some of them are.
Is Calgary the other Canadian city?
All right. So
is Vancouver?
Mexico
Speaks,
City.
Yeah, there it is. There's the other North American city we've got. We've got Accra, Ghana.
Yes.
We've got Amman, Jordan. We've got Athens, Greece. Belgrade, Serbia.
Amman, Jordan was my favorite.
Birmingham, UK.
This is how we do it.
Bogota, Colombia. Busan, South Korea. Casablanca, Morocco.
Play it again.
Delhi, India.
Play the game again. You played it for him, you can play it for me.
And if you know that reference.
Durban, South Africa.
If you know that reference, your grandparents told you about it.
Galway, we miss them every day. Ireland.
Galway.
Oh, God. Gothenburg, yeah.
Hey,
Sweden.
Tanny, that was, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
I should have gotten Accra, and you should have gotten
Hamburg, Germany. Kiev, Ukraine.
Mm. Aren't there like 8 Galway bars on the north side, too?
Yeah.
It's like Galway Arms, Galway Bay. Like
Lahore, Pakistan. Luzern, Switzerland. See, Milan, Italy. Osaka, Japan. Paris, France.
You know,
see, that's Osaka,
Prague,
Japan, not Tokyo. So
Shanghai.
That, yeah.
I got to say.
Shenyang, China. Sydney, Toronto. And Warsaw.
If you don't stop naming sister cities.
I got to tell you, I love the pop culture category because me and my boys were just talking about all these sister cities over the weekend. And I just drew a blank.
What everybody's talking about.
Everybody's tweeting about
they
it. They did this on
B96 the other day. All over TikTok. Disgrace seems to follow Alex Kuhn around.
This one was, I got this one from Lawrence when you started talking about how Toronto was very much very similar to
didn't I
Chicago?
Get yelled at for doing something? I did like
the hottest
countries. I did the hottest countries. You guys all yelled at me.
It didn't help that we didn't know the names of countries. and clearly that played out yet again
category. Sorry I didn't come up with the name of the capital of Pakistan. Sorry about that. Or Ghana. I'm sorry. I can't play your
game. Should have known that.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's because you're so old, man. All the kids know them.
I was busy watching Casablanca. That's what I was doing.
Yep. It's too bad.
Good job, Alex. That was fun. Thank
you. Until the last category. Sorry, guys.
No, it was all good. Even that was fun.
Well, you know who the winner was.
The listener.
The listener. But mostly Speaks today. He was the real winner of this.
Me and the listeners.
And
together.
The listener. Together.
That's exactly right.
When we come back, show a little love to something that's doing something really good in our city. And it's connected to something that's happened a long, long, long time ago here on this very radio station. It's next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
We'll send him the book.
That is Chris Ranji.
Afternoons on The Score.
Okay, I don't hear the buzz. I think we're okay. I think they have figured out what the problem was.
How about that? We are back in our positions just in time. As Dave wants, that'll be here in 10 minutes.
I didn't mind that, though.
Yeah, good. Do it sometimes.
I mean, overall, it's not ideal, but because of the laptop situation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not bad.
So
I did it for a couple years with Dan, so.
There you go. Well, we got options. We got options. For me, I turn right. After turning left.
Yeah, but it's a more difficult task for you because you can, when I'm over there, you can see them.
I'm trying to think.
I can't see them, but you can see them.
In 2011, when I was the in the Danny Mac show, right?
Weren't we upstairs
back then? Yeah, we were upstairs, so I was in a different spot. But I remember saying to Mac and announcing on the radio that I was going to be a dad. That there was a pregnancy and that there was going to be a child. And then that boy was born, and Ruben Spiegel on Saturday is getting bar mitzvah. He's becoming a man. He's 13 years old. So it's like, it's crazy how many listeners I've talked to through the years, Lawrence, that remember that moment of, you know, a young host who was just coming back to Chicago, back to his roots at the time. You know, announcing that he was going to be a dad. And now that kid is 13. Man, he put on the suit. He tried on the suit yesterday. We went to go pick it up after it was tailored, right? And he felt good. He looked good and he knew it.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know that feeling as like a 13-year-old? And so he's got the suit on. He turns to me. He puts his hands together and he goes, Daddy, let's talk business. I was like, all right.
What type of business are we talking about?
I asked him. He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
but he just want to talk some.
I like that he had the confidence to say that then.
So, but as part of the thing, we had to find some places to volunteer, and we did volunteer the other day at an amazing place I wanted to give a shout out to called Digs with Dignity. And Digs with Dignity works with 8 different social services. They find families emerging from homelessness that are just moving into their first home, and what they do is they furnish the home with furniture, but also like housewares and sheets and towels, and also like art, and like they give them Digs with Dignity. So they accept donations. Look them up, digswithdignity.com. They accept donations. If you're somebody that gives to other places, this is a really good option. Because what we did as our volunteer thing is we went over. And what they do is they meet with the family and they do it custom. So they
kind of find out what they need and what they're looking to do in their new place.
You have 2 kids. All right, how old are your kids? What are they into? So me and Ruben went and we picked out a basket of stuff for a 13-year-old boy. So I had my 13-year-old picking through the stuff and picking out stuff that we knew this kid would like based on favorite colors and what he likes and what he's into. And it's amazing. And so every Friday, they set up a family with their new stuff. They kick them out of their house at 9 in the morning to school or work or whatever. And at 2:30 in the afternoon, they do a reveal to that family.
Great.
Can you imagine how gratifying that is? Juan, who's the guy who's in charge of the the warehouse.
Shout out to Juan, because he's a listener, right?
Juan's a listener, big 49er fan.
Out here doing good.
Out here doing good. Came in, used to be in the corporate world managing a warehouse. Now he manages this one. He gets that feeling every Friday of setting up a family.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
It was a wonderful experience for Ruben and for me, and I'm thrilled that we found them. Digs with Dignity. Check them out. And if you got stuff to donate, consider donating there instead of some of the other places.
Are you more excited or anxious about Saturday?
So excited now. So excited. He's worried.
The hay is in the barn?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
other
much.
Other than the yarmulkes.
The yarmulkes are in the barn. They got to get here. As soon as they get here. But yeah, no, everything else is pretty good. Everything else should be all right. And I got family coming in from out of town. All five Spiegel siblings going to be together in the same room for the first time in a decade, which is crazy.
Will there be fights?
Already there's been some.
Because you told your sister how to raise her child, right?
I haven't told her yet. You're really afraid. I mean, for anybody who doesn't know, my sister told her son to leave the Buffalo Bills game on Sunday night with 6 minutes to go when they were down 15 so we could catch the last bus. And he's pissed. He's super pissed. And I want to tell her to let the kid do what he wants.
I just think that maybe...
It's not my place. It's not my place.
It's not your place.
It really is.
But maybe not this weekend, too. Like, maybe we don't antagonize someone on the weekend where we're supposed to just be celebrating Ruben.
But you mean that person who's, like, making a trip coming from the East Coast?
Yeah. To be with her nephew.
Yeah, maybe don't attack her for her parenting style?
Yeah.
I'll take that under advisement. Associate producer, any thoughts, anything, any concerns so far?
No, not particularly.
All right, good. Thanks so much. Dynamite drop in. Here we go. We're off and running. His voice is already way lower than that. Like, it's all happening, man. It's crazy. Like, I'm going to have to
be
careful.
Be like, put the lotion in the basket.
He's going to sound like he's on Pablo Torre's podcast soon.
I didn't realize where that money was going.
Hey, let me tell you something. If you end up on Pablo Torre's podcast these days,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, or you know somebody who's going to be in trouble.
You're right.
They keep messing with Pablo.
They keep doubting him.
Everyone keeps messing with Pablo like, oh, you ain't got it. Oh, no? Hold on. Let me just go into this folder where I have all this information about this illegal activity that you're doing.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Pablo Torre.
I mean, I too would like $28 billion in a no-show job.
We'd all like
I don't
that.
Know what that voice is.
I'm trying. It's somewhere between James Gum. Guilty, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Here's that number.
That's good. Yours is better, Danny. I'm gonna leave that to you now.
Is it a whiny? No, I'm just kidding. Dave Wannstedt is going to join us. The pre-show has been going on in Mitch's office for the last 15 minutes. So I'm sure Whiny will have things to say about the Bears and bourbon and the Cowboys and everything else that we want to ask him about. So don't go anywhere. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Damn it, it's 5 o'clock here. On Thursdays, that means Dave Wannstedt. It's next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.